because you're going to see that we're going to flip back and forth and back and forth here. And then we'll see different passages in the New Testament. But tonight, as we continue on looking at the doctrines of Christ, we're looking at those from the Old Testament who were types of Christ. And tonight we're going to look at Joseph, his sufferings. Joseph is considered to be the most perfect type of Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. And the first part was he was hated without a cause. So we're going to look at Genesis chapter 37, verses 4 through 8. And we know the story. If you were here when I did the in-depth five-year study through Genesis, you got a lot about Joseph's life because we spent a lot of time there. But verses 4 through 8 of Genesis 37. Starting in verse 4, it says, "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." Verse 8, "And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this night. And Father, we're thankful for the Word of God that we have, that we can take with us. We can study it. We can meditate it over it. Father, we live in a country where we have such freedom with the gospel right now. And I understand our freedoms are at risk of being taken away. And there's many in our nation that would want that. But Father, I pray that we would understand how important it is to retain those freedoms that we have and not take them for granted. But Father, we're thankful for the opportunity we have tonight to look into your word. I pray, Father, that you'd speak to each one of us personally tonight and will not fail to give you all the praise. For it's in the blessed name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. If you turn over to John chapter 15 and verse 25, like I said, you're going to want to keep a place over there because we're going to be in several books in the New Testament. But John chapter 15 and verse 25. John 15:25 says, "But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." They hated Joseph. His brothers hated him. Why? Because dad loved him more, right? At least that's what they thought. With Jesus, they hated him, and they had no cause to hate him. Jesus came to give us the free gift of eternal life. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came and he healed people from different diseases and stuff, and yet they still hated him. Amazing, isn't it? It still happens today. People hate with no reason to hate. Makes no sense. Why do you hate people? Why do people hate people? Well, the ultimate answer is sin. Because there's sin in the world, these things happen. And people hate just for the sake of hating. It doesn't matter. They don't have to have a reason. I asked one day, a guy I know, he's adamantly opposed to our president. I said, "Why?" "Because I hate him." "Why do you hate him?" "I just do." They don't even know why. They just hate him because they want to hate him. And it's not just, that's just a prime example. I didn't have to use that one. There's plenty of people that hate others for no reason whatsoever. Well, get to know them. Maybe if you get to know them, maybe you might actually like them. You might even do what Jesus says, we're supposed to love them. We don't have to agree with what they're doing, but we're still supposed to love them. Supposed to love them. Then, too, he was ridiculed. Genesis 37 and verse 19 says, "And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh." They ridiculed him. And then Luke, so we're looking at the other side of that. Luke chapter 22 and 63. Luke 22, verse 63, it says, "And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him." Mocked him. Why? Because they don't like him. They don't like him, so they're going to mock him. You ever been mocked by people? I get it every once in a while, you know, because of my beliefs, because I'm not quiet about it. I believe that Christianity isn't something we should go out and hide. I don't think we should have to go out and wear a banner that says I'm a Christian, but we should live our life in such a way that people know that we're a Christian. You know, people ask me, how I feel about something, I immediately go to the Word of God. Let's see what the Word of God says. Because my opinion doesn't matter. Frankly, your opinion doesn't matter. What matters is what God says. And so let's go and see what God says and get back to that. And so we need to do that more and more. But they're going to mock us. Why? Because they don't understand. They don't know what they're mocking. And when they mock us, we sometimes will get offended. I know the first time that I was knocking doors and they slammed the door in my face after yelling at me, I thought, I don't need this. I don't need to be treated this way. I went out to get my car and go home, and all of a sudden I heard this still small voice in my ear saying, "What's wrong with that door?" As you know, I went over to the next door and those people were nice Christian people. And I was like, they were welcoming to everything I had to say and all. And we had a great conversation. And of course, I went from this, I've just been, you know, treated terribly, to, wow, these guys are really great. And when I got back to the car, the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, they didn't reject you. Those people in that house rejected Christ. The people in the next door house didn't accept you. They accepted Jesus Christ. It's not about you. It's about him. From that point on, I said, what does it matter how people treat me? It's not about me. It's about him. So if they yell at me and all, they're rejecting him, not me. If they accept, they're not accepting me. They're accepting him. So I got over it, and now it doesn't bother me. I can go knock doors all day long and talk to people, because no matter how it goes, it's what how they're treating him. And they're going to have to deal with him. But they mocked him. And then he was plotted against. Genesis 37, verse 20. He was plotted against. "Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." And then John chapter 11 and verse 53. John 11:53 says, "Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death." They plotted against both of them. When you don't like someone, when you hate that person, it doesn't bother you if they're no longer here, right? I unfortunately had a conversation with a client, past client, could possibly be a current, a future, near future client, but a dispute has happened in the family. And now, neither one of them cares if the other one was to die. That's sad. That's really sad. These people are family. Why do they not care? What's happened that's been so bad that they hate the other person so desperately that they don't care if they were dead. I can't imagine that on anyone. I mean, we as a nation have some enemies out there, right? As a nation, we have... I don't have anyone that I know of now that wants me dead. I would have said about, 12 years ago or so, maybe there was someone, but currently, I don't know of anybody who wants me dead. I don't know why anybody... I don't want anyone dead. In fact, there's a lot of people in the world that are evil and wicked, and they're still lost in their sin, and if they die, they're going to spend eternity in hell. And they're doing evil and wicked things, but I still want them to live long enough that they could get saved. That there's still that possibility, because as long as they've got breath, there's still an opportunity for them to get saved. How many times have I said, pray for those terrorist groups that are out there, Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and all them. Pray for them. Because maybe, just maybe, one of them might get saved like Saul of Tarsus got saved. He was accused of turning the world upside down when it was actually turned right side up. They plotted against him. And then he was stripped of his robe. Genesis 37:23 says, and it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And then John chapter 19, verses 23 and 24. John 19, verses 23 and 24. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. So they stripped him of his robe. They decided, hey, we'll take care of that for you. Everything they did was to be a disgrace to him. Jesus just took it, right? Well, as we studied Joseph's life, Joseph did pretty good, didn't he? How many of us would have gone through what his brothers did to him and not lash out at him? In fact, Joseph, when he had an opportunity to get even, so to speak, at the end, he said to his, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. How many of us could do that? Say, those guys meant it for evil, and I don't care if it's your family or if it's someone else treats you bad. They mean it for evil, but God's using it for good. Do we believe that? I believe wholeheartedly Romans 8:28. We know that that verse tells us that all things work together for good. To them that love God. That's not to the lost, that's to those who love God. Those who are called according to His purpose. So even when we think that somebody is doing evil against us, God's using it for good. Praise the Lord, He is. I don't know anybody that's gone through everything that Joseph went through. I don't know anyone who's gone through what Jesus went through. We could, if we wanted to, deal with the way we're treated. Turn it over to God, right? Vengeance is mine, I shall repay, saith the Lord. Let him get even. Let him get what he wants. Let him use it to his honor and glory. Just get over it. And then he was sold for pieces of silver, the price of a slave. Genesis 37, verse 28. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And then Matthew chapter 26, 14 through 16. Matthew 26, 14 through 16. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Sold for silver. Some silver. It's amazing to me they sold our Savior for just 30 pieces of silver. Unreal. And then he was lied about and falsely accused. Genesis 39 and verse 14. Genesis 39, 14. That she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. I always found it interesting that she cried with a loud voice and nobody heard her. Must not have been too loud of a voice. Oh, that's right, the story was all made up. She lied. She falsely accused him of something he did not do. Then Matthew 26 and verse 61. Matthew 26, 61, and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. They lied. How many times? They lied. They lied, they lied, they lied. They falsely accused and they lied. How many times do we see that in our day and age? It seems like lying is the new truth, right? Everybody's doing it, right? So it must be okay. No, it's not okay. You know, I liked the other day when one of the ladies, she said her son was killed. And she said, you know, they think they're getting away with it. But God knows. God knows who killed her son. They think they're getting away with it. And it doesn't matter how many lies were told to cover up the death and all that. It doesn't matter how many misinformed things are going on to get the police off track and all. It doesn't matter. Today, I mean, we live in a state that the Supreme Court in this state says it's okay to lie when you're running for office, public office, and the public can't do anything about it. This state that we're in right now. It's crazy. That's why when we get a letter from Brother Holman who says this state does not recognize God, the leaders of our state do not recognize God, he's telling the truth. They don't. Because they don't care. God says that we're not to lie. They say it's okay to lie. It's not okay to lie. But the bottom line is, just like that lady said, God knows exactly what's going on. Nothing is taking him by surprise. Then he was placed in captivity with two guilty men. Genesis 40, verses 1 through 3. Genesis 40, verses 1 through 3. It says, And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And then Luke 23. Luke 23, 32 and 33 says, And there were also two others malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Placed into captivity with two guilty men. They were not guilty, and they were placed with guilty men. And then he was unrecognized by his own. Genesis 42, verse 8. And we'll end tonight with this. And that will conclude our part on Joseph. But he was unrecognized by his own. Genesis 42, 8. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. They didn't even recognize him. Now, granted, some time had passed, but it's interesting. You know, you see sometimes when you'll see some old shows that people were on, and then you see the new ones that they're on, and you see how they were when they were young. Then you see how when they're older, you can still recognize them. They didn't even recognize Joseph at all. They had no idea it was him. And then John 1:11. John chapter 1 and verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto his own. They didn't receive him as who he was. His own people. It's interesting to me how easy it is to forget. To not know. How would you not know your own brother? Well, because they thought he was gone, right? Well, they did everything they could, short of killing him, to make sure he was gone. But it didn't work. God had a different plan. It's amazing how not always is God's plan the same plan as the evildoers in the world. All right, we've got a new list.